future is now. And welcome to the SVK Crypto Podcast. 15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name is Charles Story. I'll be your host the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the city of London, Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. We have a great kick-ass show in store for you today. So let me go through what we're going to be talking about. Number one, we're going to be talking about billion-dollar returns, the upside of Facebook's Libra cryptocurrency. Number two, we're going to be talking about Arrington-backed crypto loans firm to accept Telegram's token as collateral. What does this mean for the Telegram token or the holders there? And number three, Venezuela's Maduro orders top banks to make Petro available to the public. Petro, we're going to be discussing, if you haven't heard about Petro, what it is, A, B, what this means for the people of Venezuela, and C, what this means for the space. Is this a good or bad thing? So with that in mind, let's get down to business. Let's jump into today's show and let's do this. So, let's kick things off. Billion-dollar returns, the upside of Facebook's cryptocurrency Libra. At first glance, Facebook's Libra cryptocurrency doesn't make sense. On its face, it's a non-speculative token which uses enough decentralization to make it difficult, if not impossible, for Facebook to profit off it, as the company does not from its social media platform. But in crypto, there's always an upside to the people who launch a new protocol. In the event the protocol succeeds, and even in many cases for simply having started development of the project, this article deals specifically and exclusively with that upside. So admittedly, hand-waving aside from other potential issues with the protocol to be addressed elsewhere. So it's important to realize that Facebook is actually launching two cryptocurrencies. The one everyone's talking about, Libra, and the one available only to Facebook and its corporate partners, the Libra investment token. The former will be backed by a basket of fiat currencies and cash equivalents, which means that for every dollar of Libra in existence, there will be, in theory, a dollar worth of real-world assets, which that token may be exchanged for under certain conditions. As a normal user, you'd get $100 worth of Libra by spending $100. Your Libra can, again, in theory, be used across a variety of platforms or sent to an approved friend. The Libra Association, a Swiss not-for-profit, puts your $100 in a variety of low-risk short-term investments like U.S. Treasury bills. As of July 1st, the one-month T-bill was yielding 2.125% on an annualized basis. So the association would earn $2 and change on your $100 Libra purchase. So what happens to that money? So Libra investors, this is where it gets interesting. Those funds are controlled and spent by the Libra Association. According to the white paper, funds are used first to fund the operation of the network itself, and the remainder being divided among the Libra investment token holders, according to the holdings, with policies determined by the association. The association itself is made up of holders of the Libra investment token who've invested a minimum of $10 million, as well as a special impact group selected by the association to have a vote, but who don't have to buy the investment token itself. This is what the white paper says. How will the reserve be invested? Users of Libra do not receive a return from the reserve. The reserve will be invested in low-risk assets that will yield interest over time. The revenue from this interest will first go to support the operating expenses of the association to fund investments in the growth and development of the ecosystem, grants to non-profit and multilateral organizations, engineering research, etc. So once that is covered, this is where it gets interesting, part of the remaining returns will go to pay dividends to early investors in the Libra investment token for their initial contributions. Because the assets in the reserve are low risk and low yield, returns for early investors will only materialize if the network is successful and the reserves grows substantially in size. So early investors are primarily large technology and VC companies, for whom $10 million isn't actually a huge investment. The big numbers come into play when you look at what success, big or small, would look like for investors, at which point suddenly the project makes sense. To size up Libra's potential market, look at the US money supply as tracked by the Federal Reserve. So in January 2019, which M1, which includes cash, coins, and money in checking accounts, stood at $3.7 trillion in a country of about 329 million people. This compares against M2 at more than $14 trillion, which is everything in M1 plus savings accounts, money, market funds, certificates of deposits, and other bank deposits. Assuming that after a couple of years, Libra has achieved adoption equal to 10% of M1, we'll also assume that By this time, Libra has sold $1 billion worth of tokens, of the investment token that is, that costs $1 billion a year to run the network and manage the fund's investments. And we'll assume T-bill rates hold constant. This is where it gets even more interesting. After those expenses, Libra would be generating almost $7 billion of interest per year, with a yearly return on investment ROI of 688.51%. Remember, it's the investment token holders who are reaping this return, not the Libra currency holders who earn no interest on the collateral. The former group in aggregate will have put in a smaller amount of money than the latter, which is why you get the eye-popping yields from a portfolio of low-risk investments. So over 10 years, hypothetically, an investment of $500 would receive dividends of $34,425, assuming zero adoption beyond that initial 10% of M1. Of course, you can't just invest $500 since the minimum threshold for the investment tokens is $10 million, which in this scenario returns $688 million. And that's the conversation, well, conservative scenario. The craziness here becomes even more apparent looking at middle-of-the-road scenario where we assume that Libra would see adoption equivalent to 15% of more inclusive money supply figure to M2. Yearly returns spike to 4,478% from $44.7 billion in net gains to investors. The hypothetical $500 investment returns $223,924 over 10 years, and the $10 million minimum investment nets $4.4 billion over 10 years, still assuming zero new adoption. So in our partial global adoption scenario, we use 25% of US M2 as the stand-in for 10% to 15% of the global M2. Now, yearly returns surge to 7,530% with net returns of just over $75 billion. Returns for $500 would hypothetically be $376,540, while $10 million buy in net investors a cool $7.53 billion. Now, you have to remember, this is like if they get 10% of M1. Now, if they get 10% of the global money supply, I mean, you know, like that's a freak situation. And I don't believe they can do it. It's just going to take a lot longer, I think, than a couple of years, which is what a lot of people have been talking about online. But I think what's really interesting is Libra just is constantly in the news. It's the fact that, you know, Libra's in a situation where Facebook watched what was happening in the market. They watched the ICOs come through. They watched what was going on with the underlying technology. And then they came in and just basically came in with like, here's how it's going to go down. Here's how we're going to do it. And guess what? We're going to put money and resource behind this. We're going to educate all the different regulators in the world. And I think that's going to be a really positive thing. So I think Libra, you know, I think at first people were excited, then they kind of, you know, heard different things from different people and not so much. And I think now the excitement's coming back for a lot of people out there as well, which is so key because at the end of the day, we need more and more projects coming out, making noise like Libra is. So number two, Arrington backed crypto loans firm to accept Telegram's token as collateral. So this is kind of interesting, this story. So Michael Arrington backed crypto loans provider Nexo has announced that it will accept the Gram token from messaging app firm Telegram as collateral. Nexo told media sources that following the first public sale of Gram tokens through the Liquid Exchange platform kicking off on July 10th, is allowing customers to use Grams as backing for its instant credit lines and credit card. The limited Gram sale, the first open to the general public, is being made via Gram Asia, a Korean firm claiming to be the largest holder of Gram token. Obtaining through Telegram's private multi-stage ICO in 2018, the token sale reaped an astonishing $1.7 billion in two phases, the highest raised via an ICO at the time. The Telegram, though, is not associated with the Gram offering, Liquid has told media sources. The ICO funding is being used to develop Telegram Open Network, TON, an ambitious blockchain project aimed to decentralize multiple facets of digital communication, ranging from file sharing to browsing to transactions. Should Grams go see a wider public offering, the token has the potential to become one of the largest cryptocurrencies by market cap, according to Nexo. The full launch of the TON network is likely to boost the market for Grams, it said. Nexo offers, its website says, insured accounts that provide automated and instant approvals for loans in over 45 fiat currencies. Crypto holders can also earn up to 8% interest on their assets. Now, 8% interest on your assets, like, are your assets going to get locked up? That'd be really interesting to see how they do that, because let's say you give them 10 Bitcoin Bitcoin's trading at $10,000 per Bitcoin. That's $100,000 worth of collateral putting up. So they're offering you 8% a year. Now, are they locking that in at $100,000 in fiat, or are they locking that in at 10 Bitcoin and we'll be paying you 0.8 of a Bitcoin in, you know, whatever the time period is? So that, I'd love to learn more about that, and I'll go and do some research to come back to you guys on that. So number three, we're going to be talking about Venezuela. Venezuela's been in the news a lot. You've got some devastating situations going on over there. But for the listeners who have been with us for a while now, we've spoken about Petra, their token, a few different times. So Venezuela's president, Nicolas Maduro, has ordered one of the nation's largest banks to allow customers to access his controversial cryptocurrency, the Petro. The Venezuelan Ministry of Finance tweeted the news late on Wednesday at the event making the 10th anniversary of the Bank of Venezuela, BOV, quoting Maduro as saying via informal translation, "I give the express order for transaction counters for the Petro to be open in all Bank of Venezuelan agencies." So while there are no other details available so far, the move is presumably aimed to allow BOV customers to buy deposits and deposit Petros. The move comes in the latest effort by the president to force Venezuelan institutions to boost use of his CryptoPet project. Maduro launched the Petro earlier last year as a means to sidestep economic sanctions and has since ordered banks to use the token itself as well, which is claimed to be pegged to the country's rich oil reserves as well as state-owned companies. He has further mandated that payments for passports should be made in Petros, a possible means of slowing the exodus of people from the troubled nation, as Petros are not available, already available to the popular or to the masses out there. So the Petro has also been tied to the new national fiat currency, the sovereign Bolivia, and pegged pension salary systems to the token as well. So they're trying to use this token to get them out of the situation that they're in and trying to get adoption happening there as well. You know, if you actually, I knew one of the architects for the token itself. I mean, it's nothing crazy. It's like an ERC-20 token. There's not a lot to it. They claim it's backed by the rich oil reserves of the country, but you know, that's yet to be seen as well. So I think people are very hesitant about the token. Listen, with that in mind, that's a wrap. I've got to bounce. Thank you so much for your time and attention. As always, if you have any questions, hit us up on Twitter at @SVK_crypto. Join us on Telegram, SVK Crowd. If you type that in, you will find us. And if you have a project on the EOS blockchain that you'd like us to review, feel free to email myself, cstory, cstory@svkcrypto.com. That's a wrap, and I've got to bounce.